again, very thankful for the presence of each and every one. It is a beautiful Lord's Day that the Lord has blessed us with. There are a lot of things that you could have chose to do, but you chose to be here this afternoon. You chose to come back and to once again offer worship to God and raising your voice in praise to Him, going to Him through the avenue of prayer, and to hear another lesson from His Word proclaimed. And for that, we are thankful. We do have visitors among us. We are again thankful for your presence. And we hope that you will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. I'm also thankful for the good prayer that Gordon led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate that very good prayer. I appreciate Max, again, leading us in song as we lifted up our voice in praise to our Almighty God. And I appreciate Alvin giving us that reading of the scripture there from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this afternoon as we're going to take some time to talk about some things that are important for us to do. You see, how many times have you heard it been told to you, or how many times have you said, whatever you do, do this or that? I venture to say you've heard that phrase or you've said that phrase, whatever you do, many times in your life, haven't you? And when somebody says whatever you do to you, they are simply emphasizing the importance of doing or not doing a particular thing. And that's what I want to take just a few moments to talk to you about this afternoon. I want to take some time this afternoon to explore with you a few things of importance from the Bible concerning the words, whatever you do. Starting with, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We learn about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 10. And when the wise man is telling us to do whatever our hand finds to do it with all our might, he's simply telling us that we need to put 110% in whatever our hand finds to do. No matter what it is that we do, no matter what we're doing, we need to give it 110%. And he goes on to tell us why we need to give it 110% no matter what we find our hand to do. When he goes on to say there in verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 9, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Think about that for a moment. Again, the wise man is telling us here that whenever we have an opportunity to do something, no matter what that is, we need to do it to the best of our ability. We need to give it our all. We must not hold back. We must not be one who holds back and be like, I'm just going to give it 75% and I'm going to conserve some energy. We must not do that. And he goes on to tell us why. When he says, there's no work, device, knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You see, simply put, he's telling us, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Because someday, there's going to come a time where there's going to be no more opportunity to give it your all to whatever your hand finds to do. Because someday, your life's going to come to an end, isn't it? And when your life comes to an end, guess what? There's not going to be no more opportunity for you to give it your all to whatever you do then, is there? And we need to be mindful of that, brethren. We need to be mindful of the fact to make the most out of every opportunity we have in this life. We need to be mindful of the fact to give it our all in whatever our hand finds to do. Being mindful of these words of wisdom found here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 10. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that we need to do whatever we want men to do to us, we need to do to them likewise. We learn about that there in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 12. And there Jesus Christ himself said, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Here Jesus is teaching us about having a proper attitude towards others. That's what he's teaching us. It's a valuable lesson in regard to the type of attitude that we should have towards others. And this text here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, along with Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, it's commonly referred to the golden rule. That's what many refer this instruction of Jesus to as, the golden rule. And wouldn't it be great if everyone practiced this instruction of Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if everyone treated others as they wish to be treated? Shake your head like this. Because it certainly would, wouldn't it? Think about how much better of a world we would live in if everyone would just follow the simple instruction of Jesus and simply just treat others as they wish to be treated. You see, I want us to notice something. I want us to notice what this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, do unto others as they deserve, does it? That's not what it says. It says, do unto others as you'd like them to do to you. And we need to be mindful of that. Because too many times, we want to treat others maybe in the same way that they treat us. And what I mean by that is, if others are treating us in a negative way, we want to retaliate and likewise treat them in a negative way. We want to treat them as they deserve, so to speak. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, treat others as you wish to be treated. Now think about that. You see, I don't know anyone who desires to be treated in an ill manner way. I don't know anyone that likes to be treated unfairly. I don't know anyone who likes to be treated hatefully. I don't know anyone who likes to be treated like they're a piece of dirt or a piece of trash or that they're unworthy. I don't know anyone that wants to be treated like that. Do you? And if we don't want to be treated like that, guess what? We shouldn't treat others like that, should we? We need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. If we want to be treated kindly, guess what? We need to treat others with kindness, don't we? If we want to be respected by men, guess what? We need to respect them, don't we? If we want to have friends, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to be friendly, aren't we? When I think about that, I can't help but to think about what the wise man said there in Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse number 24. There he said, a man who has friends must himself be what? Friendly. Friendly. Kind of goes along with what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, right? If you want to have friends, you're going to have to be friendly. Jesus says, if you want men to do to you, do to them also. You see that connection there? And we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to be a people who do whatever we want men to do to us, to do to them likewise. And you want to know something? If we all would just practice the simple instruction of Jesus, it would put an end to all the differences that come between individuals today, wouldn't it? It put an end to it if we all would simply follow this instruction of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, remember, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 17. You see, simply put, whatever we say or do, it should always be in accordance to the approval of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever we say, whatever we do, We need to do it in a way that is in accordance to the approval of the Lord Jesus. You see, when Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know what he's simply saying there when he says, do in the name of? He's saying, do by the authority of. And who is it who has all authority in heaven and on earth? Who is that? Is it you? Is it me? Jesus Christ. We learn about that in Matthew 28 and 18, don't we? Remember Jesus? What he said there? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, I want us to think about that for a moment. I want to present this question to you. If Jesus has all authority, how much is left for you or I? Shake your head like this. Because there isn't any left for you or I. He's the one who has all authority. And that is why that it is important that we do all that we do in word or deed in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, the things that we say or do, it shouldn't be based on what we think or how we feel. It shouldn't be based on what others think or how they feel. But it should be based only upon what the Lord says. Only upon what He approves of. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Jesus asked a very good question there in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. You remember that question Jesus asked? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say to do? That's a good question. We need to be mindful of that, right? And if we are going to declare the Lord, then we need to do what He says, don't we? We need to make sure that all that we do in word or deed is done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. But also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23, we learn another thing in regard to something we should do no matter what we do. And there it is recorded, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You see, when the Apostle Paul gave this instruction in the first century, he gave this instruction in regard to the servant-master relationship, as you can see in the context there. And in the first century, there were a lot of Christians who were slaves, and a lot of slave owners, masters who were Christians, wouldn't they? And Paul is writing this instruction to that slave-master relationship in regard to the fact that when those slaves are working for their master, they need to make sure that they do whatever they do heartedly. That word heartedly there, it simply denotes the need to do it wholeheartedly or sincerely. And Paul is reminding them of that responsibility for them to do that. Today we can kind of relate that in regard to the employee-employer relationship, can't we? We can kind of make that relation today for us. And although the two are different, the principles that should guide the conduct of the Christian is the same, isn't it? And we need to be mindful of that. We need to make sure that whatever we do when we are serving others, that we do it heartedly. We need to do that remembering that we are not just offering service to men only, but as Paul said, but also the Lord. And I want us to notice something. I want us to notice that very next verse there in Colossians chapter 3. Notice why this is important. Notice why it is important here in verse 24 that we do whatever we do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. For as Paul tells us in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see that? Now it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense, doesn't it? Why we need to make sure that we do whatever we do, to do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Because that ultimate reward that we are looking for as Christians, that reward of eternal life, that crown of life, who's going to be the one who gives that? Not men, but the Lord Himself. And we need to be mindful of that. Remembering, as Paul said here in verse number 24, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Hold on to those thoughts. Be mindful of that. And remember to do whatever you do heartedly as to the Lord and not to men. But one more thing, to kind of bring this lesson full circle this afternoon in regard to whatever you do. And that is, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, the underlying motive for doing whatever we do, it should be that of bringing glory to God. That should be the underlying motive of whatever we do. Whether it is eating or drinking, whether it is in word or deed, whatever it is that we do, the underlying motive should be to bring glory to God. Because all glory belongs to God, doesn't it? All glory belongs to God. And we need to be mindful of Paul's instruction here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. When he says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, that covers a whole lot of things, doesn't it? Whatever you do, Paul says, do all to the glory of God. Again, we must always seek to magnify God, and we must always seek to give Him the glory in all that we do. Again, I appreciate Gordon's prayer a few moments ago. And you notice in that prayer, Gordon prayed that we all would strive to be a shining light. And we all, as God's children, need to seek to be a shining light in this perverse and crooked dark world that we live in each and every day, don't we? We need to make that a priority. To be a shining light among others. And when I think about that, I think about Jesus' instruction there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And what did he say there? What did he say? Let your light so shine. He didn't just say, let your light shine, did he, Steve? He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and that your Father in heaven may be glorified. That's important, isn't it? And as we continue throughout this day, as we continue throughout this week, the Lord willing, as we continue throughout the rest of our lives, whatever time we may have left upon this earth, may we make sure that we always strive to do whatever we do to the glory of God. Once more, my beloved brethren, it is very important that we all strive to do the things that we have discussed here this afternoon, never forgetting that by doing so, we will bring glory to God. Therefore, do these things. And always remember that Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John chapter 14 and in verse number 15. So how about you? Have you been doing the things that Jesus has commanded? Have you? If not, why not? For as we learn there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And maybe there is one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and his will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart, like the Ethiopian eunuch of old, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and his will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask him for his forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there is anyone here this afternoon who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we're singing the song Max is Selected.